Got Your Ears On is brought to you by Tactical Legion Knives. Live from the campus of Top Radio, under the direction of Guido, Scoot, and Johnson, it's the pride of podcasting. It's Got Your Ears On.
All right, everybody, hello and welcome to this week's episode of Got Your Ears On. I'm Guido along with Scoot.
Ho, ho, ho!
And Johnson.
Sign me up, Guido.
Merry, 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 merry Christmas. We're going to talk about signing day to start off the show this week. Pretty exciting day on Wednesday for signing day. Most sort of I've ever followed it, I guess. I was kind of on the I was on the Twitters. I was watching what was happening. It was kind of interesting. I mean, we talked about it last week. Like, I don't put a lot of stock into all of these signings. Like, you never know. But it was kind of interesting to watch and to see everything kind of come together throughout the day. And, you know, as people as these guys committed to the school. But all in all, we had a pretty good signing class.
Yeah, and I don't know. So I agree with you. I followed it really close too, which I feel like I don't normally do each year. And I don't know if it was maybe just how well they did the announcements on social media and Neil Brown's posts and things. I thought that was really well done. Maybe that pulled us in a little bit more. I don't know, Scoot. What do you think?
For me, I think I was more into it because I think maybe more than years past, I had a better feel for what I felt our needs were, and I wanted to see if the staff kind of filled those holes. So, like, I'm looking offensive line, I'm looking running backs, I'm looking, you know, are we going to get another quarterback or two? How are we going to supplement, you know, the secondary? So those are the areas.
And like you, I mean, like you talked about last show, you had someone close to home you were kind of watching to see if something happened too.
Yeah, we got a local guy here. We talked a little bit about him last show, Mark Rucker, local high school guy. He, as a matter of fact, since our show has picked up a couple of offers.
Coincidence?
I mean, I don't know.
Probably not. No, I mean,
we got
a lot of pull.
We got a lot of pull.
Yeah, we got a pull that is.
We don't. But no. we really
but Scooty
don't.
Has a very nice pool.
A pool, nice but pool. Not a pool. Yes, I have a pool, but not a pool. He has since received a preferred walk-on at WVU, and actually got another. He got a scholarship offer to Fairmont State here also this week. So he's got a lot of D2, some D1 interest. The good thing for Mark is he happens to play a position of need for WVU. So,
absolutely.
You know, I think he's worthy of a scholarship, obviously, but I could see this being a situation where maybe he uses this as a foot in the door, continues to work, and eventually gets himself the scholarship. I mean, as we said, they're kind of, I don't want to say thin at running back, but that was an area of focus going into this offseason.
Well, Neil Brown even said it at the end of the day on Wednesday in his press conference that it's definitely a need and they will be signing a running back at the February signing, you know, mark. But you're definitely going to see a running back or two. And I think if he goes to WVU as a preferred walk-on, he's got a chance to at least earn a scholarship, I think, pretty quickly. Based on that need that they have in Morgantown. But guys, staying in the state of West Virginia, I think one of the biggest stories for me to come out of this week's signing class is the fact that WVU signed the number one and the number two recruits out of West Virginia in Sean Martin and Zach Frazier out of Fairmont.
Yeah, I like that too.
Big deal. And you know what made it even more of a big deal, I think, was just to kind of, and I don't want to dive too deep into it, but just to kind of give Dana a nice little kick in the behind on his way out the door where we had a better recruiting class than him. And then after all that stuff he said about how you can't recruit in West Virginia and you got to go outside of the state to, if you even want a chance to win at WVU, you can't recruit in West Virginia. We signed the number one and two recruits in West Virginia. I think that's great. And Scoot, our buddies over at Voice of West Virginia actually talked a little bit this week about Dana and that whole thing at Houston.
Yeah, it was a nice article by Brad Smith talking about how basically maybe we are in a, well, we're not, maybe it's, we're in a lot better situation without Dana than we were with Dana. And if you look at Houston's recruiting class, it wasn't all that great. I think, what were they, 49th or something nationally, or maybe I've got that wrong, but
it was up there somewhere.
No, I think it was even lower than that. I think it was like 72nd overall.
Yeah, it was maybe. Like in the 70s. Yeah.
And it, I was looking for that article as we speak, but it's a good read there on Voice of West Virginia, and
it was spot on. It was just spot on to how the new regime in Morgantown is just handling things better from a recruiting standpoint than what we've been dealing with the previous 7-8 seasons.
Scoot, right. Brad's article says 81st for the 2020 class.
And I think they're fairly second half of the conference that they're in, right? The American Conference. I think they're in the bottom half of that conference as far as recruiting goes. And I mean, I'm not trying to disrespect conferences, but I will. That conference, not very good. Not a strong conference.
So we signed Sean Martin out of Bluefield and Zach Frazier out of Fairmont, offensive lineman, defensive end. On top of all of that, you know, we had some really good signings, including, depending on how you look at it, we had one definite four-star recruit in David Vincent Okoli, a cornerback.
I'm going to call him DVO.
And DVO, that's going to be a great name. And Sam Brown, who on some boards was a four-star recruit,
right?
And on other boards, you know, if you look at 247 Sports, a couple of those other places, they had him at a three-star. Sam Brown's a great get for the program at wide receiver, and I think he's a kid that's going to play pretty early on too.
I'm excited because they picked up several. And I know you don't believe in this term, hog mollies. They got several hog mollies. Mayo, Chris Mayo. Out of New Jersey, Big Cat. What was it? Tariq Stewart, I think his name is. He's a JUCO transfer. He looks like a guy that, like, you don't want to anger at a restaurant, at a church event. Looks like a guy that means serious business, and you don't want to mess with him.
6'4", 3'18". And then Chris Mayo, 6'5", 325. So
both of those guys, tipping the scales at over 300 pounds is, you know, that's huge. And you wait till, you know, the strength and conditioning staff get a hold of these guys.
And maybe the center of the future in Zach Frazier is what I'm hearing.
Yeah.
So that's a nice little bit of
line. Zach Frazier's hands measure 10.5 inches from point to point. 10.5 inches. Like, that's huge. That's like the size of your shoe, Scoot. It's giant.
Let's think about this. How many of you, the three of us included, as you said that, just looked at our own hands to kind of see what do I?
Everyone.
If you're driving, please put your at least one. Hold on to on one.
Wheel. Put your hands.
But I think we're all kind of like, that's 10.5. Okay. I think I've got eight.
How about the fact that I think that we had the, in all of college football, the largest international recruiting base this signing period with two people that are from outside of the United States. Scoot, we're going to ask you very, very nicely to not make fun of Canada as much as you like to, or Akeem Mezidor is going to be awesome and has a lot of potential. And
don't you know? Yeah, they're going to be putting him side by each with a couple of other defensive linemen.
I feel like that's the Jamaican part of Canada.
Yeah,
I don't know what that accent is. I was trying to go French Canadian there. I don't think I accomplished that.
Why do we let you even do accents?
I like it. No, I like it. It's always good. Yeah, it's always good.
Yeah, so he's from Ottawa, Ontario. So that'll be, I mean, again, he played his, I guess, high school career in Clearwater, Florida. But
okay, so then he is definitely maybe not French-Canadian.
But on the other end of things, and I don't even know how to say his name, and I'm sure we'll learn it. Tony Caridia will teach us sooner than later. Is it Jairo Favaris, who is from Amsterdam?
I'm going to go with Jairo Favaris.
Jairo Favaris. So he's been at the Bristol Academy of Sports in England training. And so the Bristol Academy of Sports is like a big soccer, but it's they kind of do all sports, but it's a big soccer training facility. So if you look on any of his, you know, 247 or Huddle or any of those places to see his videos, all of them are like him in front of like a hockey or a soccer net, you know, catching footballs. It's kind of funny.
It sounds like that might be almost like an IMG Academy, like we have here in, like in the United States, like in Bradenton, Florida, or even similar to what our buddy Josh Groudon went to, like a Pro Kick Australia or whatever that was called. Sounds like it might be very similar.
So, but again, he's another guy, 6'6", 190 pounds. He's going to, they're going to work on him being a, you know, a defensive back, and a lot of potential there. But to kind of go back to what Johnson said at the beginning, WVU did a great job on Wednesday of disseminating the information out to the masses via Twitter, via Instagram, all of those places. They did a phenomenal job. The videos they put together were great. The just the whole presentation of all of these picks were pretty awesome.
What I love the best is that, because now that they've signed letters of intent, Neil Brown can comment on them. I love the fact that Neil kind of put a personal touch or a personal tweet out, kind of describing each guy and how excited he was and what a big get guy was.
I think
I like
that's
that.
What I was thinking about too when I made the comment. I just think that was really well done, and it kind of pulled you in on just seeing, you know, seeing his thoughts. Then made me pay even more attention as those things were rolling.
And I
want to
say, so I came across like even a picture or a video of him actually doing the tweets himself, and he something along the lines of, yeah, "I do my own tweets," or "Nobody tweets for me." Hashtag nobody tweets for me.
Hashtag nobody tweets for you. Nobody tweets for you, Scoot. yeah, he does. It's kind of funny if you follow his Twitter account, because sometimes he'll chirp back at people. Because was it last week after we had interviewed Josh, and Josh had tweeted out a couple of things, Josh Groudon, he had tweeted back to Josh. He goes, "Well, you relate to me because we're about the same age," which I thought was pretty hilarious. I retweeted that. So, yeah, I like Neil Brown. He's really got his pulse on the program, on the state, on everything. So it's really good. I thought the production of the little videos that they put out there on social media was pretty awesome. Speaking of which, did either of you guys, so like that's the new thing now. So like whenever a kid signs with a school, you know, they put out these tweets and these Facebook posts with these videos of, you know, them holding the flag and the looking mean with the school's uniform on, except for Baylor, which decided to do a version of Sesame Street for their announcements.
It reminded me almost of Scoot. Do you remember Crank Yankers?
Yes.
Yes.
Where they had, I mean, they were like Muppets, but they were like a kind of even a weirder take on
it. It was very
weird. I don't
know
who. It was an interesting take, and it sort of spread across Twitter. Like, people were just retweeting stuff like, "What is going on with puppets right now?" You know, I saw tweets like that, like people trying to figure out what is going on. I don't know whose idea that was, but that was interesting.
It took me a while. I actually think the puppets they made to look like the kids that were signing. Like,
well,
I think it was like
that was my understanding too. They at least tried to, because they, you know, they seem to resemble them at least in a little bit each. I mean, I don't know how much you resemble a puppet, but you know what I mean? Like hair color and things like that. It seemed like that's what they were trying to do, but how weird was that?
It's so, I know. Bizarre. It's like, It was very bizarre. So interesting, but it went pretty viral, which was maybe their goal. But I will say that I like what the NCAA has actually done with this early signing period. Now it's kind of moved it to where you're going to get all of your three and maybe a couple of four-star recruits are going to sign in this December period. And then, you know, you've got February to do some more recruiting, or excuse me, January to do some more recruiting. And then February, you have, you know, the February 5th where they do the big national signing day. And then everything goes dark until spring practices at that point. So it's definitely accelerated the way that they do recruiting, I think. But it's kind of interesting and a little bit more fun to watch. I think that West Virginia did great considering this was really Neil Brown's first class. You got to remember, he was hired, what, January 6th of last year, January 5th, beginning of January, or this year, technically January. And so he didn't get to go through all of this last year, you know? So it's a good turnaround for him in the program. I feel confident about it.
Yeah, I think you're going to see next year is going to be even better. This is kind of the initial class. Like you said, we were really working with Dana Holgerson's recruits. And I think part of that might be the reason why we're seeing so much turnover, right? Because he wants to see what he's got. So as they got playing this year, some of those guys aren't fitting what he wants to do. Some of them don't feel comfortable doing what his plans are to do. So they're looking for different avenues. And that, I guess, is the neat thing about college football is that it is flexible in the sense that people can do that more. And it's easier to transfer and go in the portal and all of that. It is a little, the old person in me says it's a little disconcerting though, because I think it's human nature to kind of get excited and get attached to guys for more than 1 year. And in a lot of cases, the guys that you are rooting for, you know, 2 weeks ago are now leaving your school.
I think, yes. I think you'll start to see less and less of that as we get more and more into
that would be my hope too. I mean, I think so. And so Guido, what I'm seeing looking across the different sites and stuff, it looks like we've ranked this class nationally around 38 or 40. It looks like.
Yep. Which last year we were like 50, 48, 50.
I thought it was around 50. Right. And then in the Big 12, I'm seeing like middle of the pack, maybe four or five
is what most places are having us. So, and again, last year we were like 7-8 last year in the Big 12. So it's definitely the right trajectory. Historically, we've done well with some of these big name signings, you know, so we'll see what happens. But listen, guys, let's take a quick break, hear a little bit from our sponsor, Vortech Knives. And when we come back, we'll talk a little Youngstown State and WVU basketball. This is Got Your Ears On.
Vortech Knives is a West Virginia-owned and operated company specializing in high-quality steel, fast-opening, everyday carry-in knives. If you go to VortechKnives.com today and use the code GYEO, you get a 25% discount on your entire order. That's Vortech, V-O-R-T-E-K, Knives.com, a West Virginia-owned and operated company specializing in fast-opening, high-quality, everyday carry knives. Vortech Knives.
All right, welcome back to Got Your Ears On. Don't forget, check us out on Twitter, at Got Your Ears. It's a fun place to be, folks. It's kind of the hub. We post all about the school. We retweeted like all the signings this week. We make fun of Scoot occasionally about making fun of Canadians and that kind of stuff. It's basically where you find everything out about us. Right, Scoot?
That's right. Our sponsor, Vortech Knives. You can find a link to them on there.
A little
bit of our bio information.
It's fun. It's a good place to be. Good place to hang out. Unlike the basketball game this weekend, which not that the basketball game was fun, I wouldn't have known because I couldn't see it. It wasn't on television, and I don't understand why.
Huddled around the radio during the holidays, like the days of old.
Super happy that it wasn't on TV.
Tony Caridi.
Tony Caridi had to have been the happiest man on the planet.
Yes. IMG Sports was very happy.
Oh my gosh. So I just don't, I don't understand. I can watch a Mountain East Conference basketball game that in Davis and Elkins on a single camera or whatever, and I can watch that live on the internet. Youngstown State and WVU can't even put like a single camera and stream it live or something.
Well, and I laughed because I think so. And Brad Smith had an article over on Voice of West Virginia. He said, I kind of felt the same way. He said, we have AT&T Sportsnet, Fox Sports One, Big 12 Now, ESPN Plus, ESPN 1, 2, 3, and ESPNU, and we can't have this game televised on anything. It makes, you know, it makes perfect sense.
No sense whatsoever. Like, I don't understand. Like, Mountain East Commissioner Reed Amos can put a camera on a tripod in the corner of, you know, a gymnasium
and
in
have
Charleston,
it taken care of.
And you can see it on all over the whole world. But WVU can't get this game so we can at least watch it streaming. I don't understand.
Well, now I didn't know this, though, until you mentioned it, Guido. So maybe I'm putting you on the spot here. But you said that it was really under Youngstown State's responsibility. WVU tried to help out. It didn't get worked out, though,
I guess. Yeah, so the story I heard through the grapevine was that, you know, it's generally the home team's job. To deal with whatever broadcast there might be, if it's a local broadcast, if it's internet based or whatever. Youngstown State, not a giant school, not a big program, doesn't have any sort of like TV deal, and so WVU apparently reached out and said, hey, listen, we could probably get it on AT&T Sportsnet. You're not far from Pittsburgh. It's doable. Let's work something out. And you know, the problem I think is there probably might have been some money and technology that needed to be involved that may not have been available from Youngstown State, is the feeling that I got. So still, I just, you know, somebody put an iPhone on a tripod and broadcast the thing. Like, come on.
So I've got a question.
Okay.
Okay.
If Chase Harler,
yes,
dunks in a basketball game and no one can see it, did it really happen?
Did it really happen?
Tony said it happened, Scoot.
Tony said it happened.
It's the bear in the bear in the woods, right? If Chase Harler dunks in a basketball game and no one's there to see it, did it really happen? I don't know.
Two-handed
dunk. So WVU, so all in all, just so we talk about it, they won it 75-64. I did not get to listen. There are actually highlights on YouTube.
Yeah, they're still frame shots. You have to go through them kind of like a slideshow.
No, they're hand-drawn like a court. It's like a court stenographer, you know. They just kind of – drew
a cartoon.
Huggins with his arms out wide.
Yes, that's exactly what it was.
Guido, I went through, so I did listen to, I ended up listening to the whole thing, and I, you know, I took down some notes as I was listening, and then I went back and looked. I always text you guys during the game, and I went back and looked at those notes, and I had first said, man, what a rough day for the guards. And then after kind of settling down from my normal game level angriness, usually, even when we win, I'm so bad about that, I went back and said, you know what, that's not really fair. It was a rough day for Misters McCabe, Napper, and McNeil is who had a rough day, I think.
McNeil looked unlike him. 0-for-4, I think.
0-for-4. Yeah, 0-for-4. Brandon Napper, 0-for-2. He had a turnover, a couple personal fouls. I think Hugs had pulled him out of the game. So, and then Jordan McCabe, and I want to hear Scoot's opinion on this. He 1-for-5. All of them threes. So Jordan finished with 3 points.
And I had seen, too, a lot of times, I don't know if it's the, I can't recall if it's the school that puts this out or who does, but or the basketball team's Twitter, but like first out on the floor, and it was Jordan, picture of Jordan shooting out like in the
I saw
warm-ups
that too.
Or whatever.
Yeah. Yep, pre-game.
I feel like, and I don't know this, but I feel like he's rewarded by starting because of all the time he's put in. I feel like for some reason, though, there's a disconnect between the amount of work he's putting in and what we're seeing in games, and I don't know why that is.
I'm with you 100%, Scooty. I think he is starting because of the amount of work and the leadership off of, you know, the in practice, the Breakfast Club. I think that's why he's starting. But if you look at the minutes, it's clear as day. I mean, yesterday McCabe had 11 minutes 45 seconds, and McBride had 23:48. So I mean, Huggins is not blind to the situation. I think Huggins wants to leave McCabe out there as a leader, but he's not blind to the fact that, you know, Deuce is handling things a lot better.
Well, and this is what I wanted to get Scoot's opinion on too. So just to finish out some stats. So Oscar and Culver go 15 for 22. Rest of the team was 15 for 42. Yeah. Derek finished 15-7-7. Oscar was went for 19-6. So what I wanted to get Scoot's opinion on, Culver goes for 7 assists. McCabe, Haley, Harler, Napper, McBride, McNeil, and Sherman go for 5 assists total. And so what I think I worry about with Mr. McCabe is, I thought, and Scoot, you tell me if I'm off in left field, but coming into the season, I was thinking, hoping, wishing maybe that Jordan McCabe would be the John Stockton to Oscar and Derek's Carl Malone.
I thought we would see that. I thought that last year, at the second half of last year, some of the spark that was positive came from the connection between Jordan and Derek. I thought that that Jordan had a real good eye for finding Derek in good spots, and we've not seen that. It's actually Derek's passing, I think, that's been the highlight of this season so far. I'm going to come out and say this. I challenge Jay Billis, Andy Katz, not to one-on-one or anything like that, because they would probably lose. But I challenge them to find Seth Greenberg to show me a better passing big man than Derek Culver.
Right.
He's really good. And we thought that last year too. I mean, that's not just a this season thing.
I think he's the best in the country with some of the ways he gets the ball to teammates, especially Oscar. And he's got a guy in Oscar now that can finish, whereas last year he'd make some passes. We didn't have the guys that could finish. Like, you know, he's passing to guys that aren't even on the team anymore. And they're messing things up for him. But, like, that's why he's getting these 7 assists, because he's throwing the ball to Oscar a bunch. And they're nice, tight passes, man. He's great at passing.
But do you agree with – so my constant worry with this team is that I'm afraid – inconsistent guard play may be the death of us.
Well, yes and no. Yes, in the sense that, yes, you have to have strong guard play, especially once we get into conference season and then into the tournament. That's going to be where we really see, is this an issue or is it not an issue? I think Huggins, like we're seeing now, is minimizing some of those inconsistencies really well. Like, so he knows that Deuce is going to be even keel, so Deuce is seeing the lion's share of the minutes. I think that's one of Huggins' strengths, is trying to minimize. He's going to get McCabe out there because, like we said, he probably deserves to be out there. But at the same time, when he's not clicking, he's going to pull him back.
Well, and here's and so Johnson, I'm with you 100%. I think the guard play starting now. So starting this coming Ohio State game on Sunday.
Well, we need it for Ohio State.
100%. Right. That's what I mean. Yes.
This is where it's going to show up, because right now, and here's a stat for you. All right. Right now, this Youngstown State game, 5-17 beyond the arc, 30%. Yep. That's what they're shooting, 3-point average.
Tell me if you've heard that before.
And that's the problem. 5-17. I mean, Deuce was 2-for-2 on his 3-point shots. That's good. That's important. That's why you're going to see him keep getting minutes. They will not be able to win against the Ohio States, the Kansas States, the Baylors, the big teams that they have to show up against. They won't win.
Ohio State, they're going to be top three, top four this year or this week coming right. up.
They won't win not shooting threes.
Well, and Guido, don't get me wrong. I mean, so you know, we had people like Haley showed back up this game. He had 11 points. Tez Sherman had a nice game. He had 10. I think Deuce went for 10 and 5.
Yeah.
So that's why I'm kind of revising. I'm not saying it was all bad and doom and gloom. I'm just saying it seems like every game, every week, we're getting on here talking about, you know, Oscar and Derek having, you know, they're having a solid game each game. And then it's kind of like, who else decides to step up? In Cancun, it was Deuce. You know, we have like us. McNeil's had some strong games where he shot really well. This one he didn't. I'm just saying, and I think probably you just articulated it better. Now that we're getting into this meat of the schedule, where it's real, the competition's really going to ramp up. Somehow or another, we're going to have to find some more consistent guard play, I think.
And I think again, this is just from observation, personal opinion. I think you're going to see it from McBride. And I think you're going to see it from Taz Sherman. And that's where it's got to come from. And I don't think it's coming from anywhere else. I mean, I think McNeil can have a flash. I think that, you know, Haley can put a good game together a lot. He's been looking good. But, you know, from beyond the arc, if you're talking about 3 points, I mean, I think you got to look at Taz. You got to look at, and you got to look at McBride to sort of step up there. And hopefully McNeil, you know, I think we're going to, what we saw this week, I think they'll be hot and cold from McNeil. So
I was looking for McCabe to be that distributor this year, and I don't think we're there yet. I think it can still happen, but we're not there yet.
So speaking of distributing the ball, though, here's a stat for you guys, and this is what I want to talk about. Gabe Osaboyan played 20 minutes. He played 20 minutes. Was second in assists on the team with 3 assists. Guess what he was? Guess what he was from the field shooting.
I don't know.
Scoot, you got a guess? Got a guess?
I don't think he took many shots.
He didn't take a shot. 0 for 0.
Oh my gosh!
Four,
okay.
0 for 4 the foul line. But this is an example. This is why I like this kid, and this is why I think that he was a good pickup. He is. I think he's very super self-aware. You know, Johnson, you and I saw him play at the Boston game, and we were like, man, he looks like he is having a tough time getting up and down the court. I think he's super self-aware of the fact that he's not a shooter, and he's there to do one thing, get rebounds, throw the ball, get rebounds, block a shot, get rebounds, move somebody out of the way.
And that's a great point, because that was like, what was it, Nickel State game when he turned around at the high – remember that highlight we watched? He turned around at the high post, didn't have an outlet. The lane opened up. He was like, okay, then I'll just take what you're going to give me. He went in and dunked, you know. And
Yeah.
So I think you're right. I think he doesn't try to do things that are a little bit too much, you know. He tries to play within himself, you know. That's a good point.
We have a big week coming up, and I just saw in an article here in CBS Sports that according to Ken Palm, who I will argue sounds like an accountant and or a dentist, that Ohio State is now the number one ranked team. So it'll be with Kansas.
Look where we are. Look at that. Go to KenPalm.com and look where we are on that, on his rankings too. It's pretty interesting. We're pretty higher up too. So
I'm interested to see what we do here.
I think this will be interesting.
And Guido, just one last thing too. I mean, you said it, so you know, let's keep it positive. You know, we did win 75-64. You said that at the top, but let's not. I mean, this game, 6 minutes to go. This was still a game.
Yeah.
I mean, so Youngstown gave them everything they wanted. Now I don't know if that's just they kind of went in maybe just thinking they were gonna, you know, roll the ball out and kind of take care of things, but Youngstown State came out fired up, and it was a genuinely good game until the last few minutes.
So let's look forward to this week real quick. It's at Cleveland, right? That's where we're playing against Ohio State.
It's in Cleveland. You are okay. It's not in Columbus. It is. Hey, folks, and guess what else? It's on TV.
It is on TV.
You will be able to good watch news. The game. It is on TV, so don't worry.
Now, let me ask you this question. Neutral site game. WVU is going to be a lower-ranked team. Let's say they are, I don't know, they're 25th this week. Let's say they're now 20th after their win from the week, okay? If WVU wins, is it acceptable for the fans that are there to rush the floor?
Yes. I bet I doubt that'll happen because you're playing in an NBA arena that probably has way more security staff than the Coliseum does.
Scoot, let's act like we've been there before.
Yeah, let's act like we've been
there. I mean, we did rush the court. When we beat the number one team, we rushed the court. You got to rush the court.
I don't think there'll be any rush.
I don't think you have to. I don't think, like, why do you have to rush the court?
Part of me wants to get tickets to this game just so I can rush the court.
By all means, go do it.
I've done it before.
It's a Sunday. It's a Sunday noon.
Have you ever rushed a basketball court?
Yes,
you have.
Yes.
Johnson has. Yes. Who yes. played? Do you remember?
1998. Number some team named Connecticut came in with some guy named Khalid Al-Amin, and they were some rank named number one. And we beat them.
And you rushed the court. You got down on the floor.
Yeah.
You and roughly 10,000 of your closest friends.
Yes.
How far onto the floor did you get?
What do you mean? I was in the middle. What do you mean?
Okay. I mean, it's like a big mosh pit, right? Essentially, when
teams rush the floor. Yeah, I mean, I was pretty much near the, mid court circle.
Where did you get close to any players? Or were they escorted off before the time you got on there? Do you recall?
I mean, this was 1998. But, yeah, I think I remember that. Because
in 97, I rushed the floor. Not at WVU.
Now, is this your Providence Friar Magic?
Yes, Providence Friar Magic.
Swept you up and...
Austin Crozier and the boys beat up on Villanova, Tim Thomas. Maybe you remember Tim Thomas. He was a one-and-done.
Yeah.
John Celestand, are you familiar? Jason Lawson, yes, you remember that crew?
Yeah, these are
Big East classic. I think an eight in the country at the time. Kids at Providence College. I didn't go there, but they were on Christmas break. Tickets are real cheap when they're not there. I was in the.
You know what I always remember from rushing the court that day at WVU? In fact, I think I did this twice. And this may have been the time. So we beat Syracuse's only Big East loss in 90. When did Syracuse win the title there, Scoot? 97? 96?
Sounds close to, I feel 96, but I don't know that.
We beat them at home and rushed the court. That may have been when my WVU engineering hat that I was really attached to got stepped on. And bent the bill really bad, and I've never gotten over that.
Oh, my. I high-fived some players when I rushed the court because, again, students weren't there, so it wasn't like a full-fledged like mob scene. It was like me and a couple of my buddies and like 20 other people. So it was kind of awkward and weird, but it was on ESPN.
Did any of them actually go to Providence, or was it just you and a bunch of randoms?
I think it was a lot of randoms because the students weren't around. So we rushed the court. Pete Gillen. Our favorite color commentator. Yeah. He was the head coach.
Large
melon, like a orange on a toothpick. Actually, kind of more like Mr. Magoo is kind of what he reminds me.
Would you call him Cabeza Grande?
Si, senor. So we're rushing to court. I'm high-fiving one of the 84 Enjai brothers. I high-fived Ndongo Enjai. And it was awesome.
So it will go back and it will hold true. If we win against Ohio State, I don't think there'll be any rushing the court.
I don't think so either.
I think the biggest problem with that being is that I don't think there are going to be that many students at a December 30th or whatever, December 29th basketball game in Cleveland, Ohio.
It'll be very Providence-like, Scoot.
Do you think the crowd will be pro-WVU or pro-Ohio State? That's a good question, right?
That's a good question.
Well, now we've had NCAA tournament games. Yeah, we've had NCAA tournament games in Cleveland before where we've packed the house.
Do we think it'll be 50-50?
But again, this is holiday. No, yeah, I mean, I'd probably give the edge to Ohio State.
And you're playing Ohio State in Ohio State.
Yeah, I mean, I think it'll still be Ohio State heavy.
Yeah, I think it'll be Ohio State
heavy. Yeah.
Well, that game is on Fox Sports 1 Sunday at noon. All right, well, listen, let's take a break. We'll come back and do one more segment. And wish everybody a Merry Christmas here on Got Your Ears On.
Tactical Legion Knives, a West Virginia-owned and operated company that specializes in heavy-duty tactical knives and gear for the professional warrior, the weekend warrior, and the outdoor warrior. Our products are built tough. For who? For warriors. Hey, Mountaineer fans, make sure you go on Amazon and search Tactical Legion Knives. And when you do, make sure you put in the promo code 25TOBRADIO for Tob Radio. You'll get 25% off on Tactical Legion Knives.
All right, welcome back to Got Your Ears On. Don't forget, folks, if you get a chance, go to our website, gotyourearson.com. It's the hub of everything. It's where you can see our Twitter, get links to who we are, read our bios. You can listen to the show. You can get links to download the show or put it on your favorite app. We're on a ton of different places, but it's sort of the place where you can get everything about us. That's gotyourearson.com. Definitely check it out. Guys, it's Christmas time. I'm feeling festive.
Merry Christmas, guys.
Merry Christmas. Merry Christmas to you guys. This has been a fun 5 months we've been doing this.
Yeah.
And it's kind of good. I'll give you guys the gift of my love of this podcast. There you go. Ho, ho, ho. Merry Christmas.
A little creepy, but
And I sent you the silly pints that Silly Pint sent me, so you each got great. One of those.
Merry Christmas to us, yes.
Thank you. Thank you, Silly Pint, for the Christmas gifts. We really enjoyed them.
They are awesome.
I think that we need to give out some Christmas gifts to some WVU coaches and players and teams or whatever.
Okay.
I'm going to start off with the only WVU football player that was listed on Mel Kiper's big board, picked one of the top three long snappers to be drafted in the NFL. If long snappers get drafted, I guess they do, probably very late. But Rex Sunahara, for him for Christmas, I want to wrap up and give him some adult multivitamins to have, because I don't know if anybody saw it, but he signed his agreement with his new
agent
this week, and he posted a picture on Twitter, and the picture on Twitter where he's signing the agreement, he had Little Critters gummy vitamins sitting right there in front of him.
Like are very kids good for you. A man his size probably has to take roughly 15 in a sitting, because I think it's like 2 for 4-year-olds. So a guy his size is downing 15 in a morning with breakfast.
I bet they taste good though.
Yeah, I mean, I saw that picture. I mean, I'm thinking, well, maybe he just doesn't want a regular multivitamin. He likes the ones that are shaped like little gummy bears.
He's not a one-a-day or a Centrum kind of guy. He's a
It's a gummy dinosaur. So I feel like, Scoot, that's how you would take vitamins, though, is that they'd have to be like gummy bears and gummy dinosaurs.
Something a little bit more exciting than your traditional pill, yes.
Yes, yeah, all right. So what about you guys?
I'm thinking you've got a bottle of Flintstones in your...
Oh, yeah,
Scoot's definitely. We definitely have Flintstones here, yes, that's correct.
Yeah.
Yeah, I would like to give Jamil Adai a gift this Christmas.
Okay.
And it would be a personalized apology from Bob Davey for calling his hit in the 2004 Virginia Tech game a hit above the shoulders. He got a personal foul call, you know, unsportsmanlike and all that jazz, that I contend 15 years later is still not a penalty. And Bob Davey was the one, I think, freshly ousted at Notre Dame. He was a commentator at that point. He went off during that telecast, and I've never gotten over that. So I would give Jamil Adai a personalized apology from Bob Davey, because that was a good hit.
I feel like you
should not have been penalized.
I feel like you want to wrap him up just like a la Christmas Vacation and put a big bow on him and like deliver him to Jamil Adai's front door.
Like you're gonna go Cousin Eddie on him, right? You're gonna go.
Yes, that would be great.
Going Cousin Eddie on and kicking him up the front stairs.
You're gonna take Bob Davey over to Jamil Adai's house Christmas Eve.
Say you're sorry. Ho ho ho.
That'd be perfect.
I like that.
That's a good one. Scoot, what about you?
Okay, so I've got my first gift that I'd like. There's two gifts. I want to give this to our dearly beloved Bob Huggins. Okay. One is going to be kind of like, you know, those pop-up windscreen or pop-up tents that kids have at the beach or whatever. I want to make a pop-up cylinder so that when Huggins is trying to figure out what the cylinder actually is and who's in the cylinder and out of the cylinder, because he gets very upset about the cylinder. So then he has like a display model that he can, you know, during timeouts, take out and show the referees, maybe put a referee in the cylinder to show him what the cylinder is. So that's one thing, because he's very upset about the cylinder. The other thing is,
I think he would love that.
He would love
in his stocking, I'd like to throw a challenge flag in there so that when he's upset about a call, he can throw out a challenge flag. I don't know. Maybe it's got to be something unique, though, because I think the red flag is already taken. I don't know what it could be. Maybe it could be, have you seen those viral videos where somebody makes a paper airplane and they throw it from like the top row and they get all excited when it lands like center court? So maybe it's like a paper airplane or something along those lines. Something unique.
How do you think that would be received, since that's not a rule right now in college basketball, if there was a terrible call and then Hugs just winged a challenge paper airplane onto the floor?
I worry that he's going to hurt somebody. He's either going to throw a shoulder out or going to hurt himself because he's going to be so mad that he's throwing this challenge out. Or he'll wad up the paper plane and throw it at, like, the official that he's upset with.
Yeah, right.
I don't think he'd like that because it'll slow down the game. I think he would like officials to just be better. But I would like to give him the opportunity to challenge a call if he felt the need.
I like the cylinder. I like the pop-up cylinder. That's great. I got one for you guys. Neil Brown, I feel like he deserves a gift. I mean, he deserves a lot of gifts for what he's helping us with the program. I think he needs a new iPhone. I feel like he's probably by now burnt out the screen on his iPhone with all of the tweets and the social media and the now he's on Instagram this week. Big news, Neil Brown got on Instagram this week. I feel like he's like becoming a social media maybe. I feel like he needs one of the new iPhones with the three cameras, the fancy giant iPhone.
Right.
Yeah, you know.
He had to respond to all the comments about his Troy State video where he's dancing.
Right.
Probably.
Definitely. So I feel like, I also feel like probably as a tag along gift with that, you probably need to give him like a gift certificate to University Hospital or Ruby Memorial for carpal tunnel surgery. Cause I feel like he's like this typing the whole time with his thumbs.
He's got working the text machine.
He's going to have he's going to have
enlarged thumbs. Children will have enlarged thumbs because of the genetic mutation.
what else you guys got? You guys got any other gifts?
I'd like to give the football team. I don't know if you guys familiar with Charles Hayes. Do you know Charles Hayes? Charles Hayes is the WVU fan that you often see in the dance cams, those choreographed dances and everything.
Yeah,
I would like him. to have him be hired as the official touchdown choreographer.
I like it.
Or choreographer.
He's a choreographer.
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 Choreographer. I would like to see him. And if they can't do that, if he has any eligibility left, I'd like WVU to suit him up as a running back because he's got moves. The guy's got moves.
Tell me this before you go out.
I might question his speed. He's got moves.
We bring him in for third down.
He's a third down back.
Okay. Scoot, tell me this. Before you go out each morning, do you check the weather by looking at the thermometer?
I do sometimes look at the thermometer. I like to have I make sure all my meals have the right amount of proteins. And I only read adult books.
I don't know what to do with that. I don't know how that fits.
It doesn't, but okay.
Guido's just going to edit that out.
You think I'm going to edit that up? I'm not going to edit. That's all staying in. That's all. You can beg for it to come out, but it's not.
Adult. It's I'm trying to think of adult. Adult.
Adult.
Yeah.
Adult.
I don't know what went on there.
All right. I got another one. How about our buddy, Josh Groudon?
Okay.
For the next time when he comes back to Morgantown.
Pepperoni rolls.
No, even better. $50 gift certificate to Outback Steakhouse.
He now hates us.
Scoot will go with him, and then Scoot can ask all.
I've got questions about the brown bread. Like, is that what we're doing in Australia? Do we eat a lot of brown bread? Like, I'm not serving it here at my house, so it must be an Australian thing.
A blooming onion. Where did it come from? Why is it here? Nobody knows. Like, that's where we got. That's where.
Why when I gotta pee, I gotta decide if I'm a bloke or a Sheila.
Is the like. Is the bloomin' part, is it supposed to be like a play on words because it looks like a flower? Or is this just like an adjective, like that's
what
a bloomin' onion?
What else would it be?
Like a doggone onion.
No.
Like somebody's mad at the onion? Like somebody was like,
that
bloomin' onion.
Maybe?
Oh, that I can't believe they brought that bloomin' onion to my table. What?
Scoot, who would even say bloomin' as like a
I'm sure there's people
exclamatory
an 1840s prospect.
Yeah, right. Right.
Oh, I found that I didn't find any of that bloomin' gold. I better go get myself a bloomin' onion.
What in tarnation have they brought to my table?
Maybe somebody that would say somebody's yellow bellied.
Well, you guys got any other gifts? You guys got any other gifts to give out this week? Is that we're for this season? We all gifted out.
I do have one last gift.
Oh, you do? Last gift.
I do. I would like.
He's a late gifter.
I'm a late gifter. I'm a belated gifter.
I feel like this is the post Christmas gift that you've finally gotten some.
I would like to give Darius Stills 15 sacks. This season.
15
sacks. I love it.
15. That way the record is clear. He doesn't have to worry about, you know, is he close to getting dad or not.
He has bragging rights with dad.
Yes.
Thanksgiving dinners will be easy to deal with.
He gets 15 sacks. Then he's got he's given Dante a measuring stick. He kind of throw down the gauntlet at Dante, say beat 15. Yep. So that's what I'd like to give Darius.
I like it.
I like it.
Well, listen, folks, we'll be back next week to talk about the big Ohio State-West Virginia game that's happening on Sunday the 29th at noon. And it is on TV. Don't forget, you can actually watch this game. It's on Fox Sports 1.
It's going to be awesome.
It's going to be amazing.
It'll be a motion picture. It won't be a flip book.
Yes. Right. It's not a cartoon. It's actual, like, you know, color. You can actually watch the game.
Live footage.
But you should still listen to Tony. Turn down the volume and turn up Tony. There you go.
Sure. Sure. Yeah.
You could even show up like that one listener and viewer did with the VR goggles.
Yes. VR it.
Yes. That's right.
But yeah, guys, everybody have a Merry Christmas. We'll talk to you before the new year. Thanks for listening, and we'll see you next week. Don't forget to check us out online at GotYourEarsOn.com or on Twitter at GotYourEars. It's been great. Everybody have a happy holidays, and you're listening to Got Your Ears On.
Ho, ho, ho!